Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Hey, everyone, you want to hear something really cool? Well, this is not going to be it.
No, here's something close-ish.
Yeah.
Pretty good. We are having our first live show ever. It's in Los Angeles. It'll be on April 25th at the Dynasty Typewriter at 10 p.m.
Yeah. It's going to be a double shot.
A double shot. We are going to be talking about the sordid, macabre history of Hollywood Forever and Paramount Studios.
Yeah. Double trouble.
Ooh, it's going to be so great. So for $15, you can get in, you can have a seat, you can listen to historians, see footage, listen to us, you'll get the whole treatment. But for an extra $35, we will take you on a tour of Hollywood Forever.
A guided personal tour.
Can you imagine it?
Yeah.
So Angelinos, come on down. If you're not from here, come on down.
Yeah, come on down.
And if you're not from here, especially, buy a ticket. Support us.
The $15 doesn't include a flight or hotel, but,
you know.
But what?
That's it.
So,
how about that?
Yeah, you got to go to dynastytypewriter.com.
Yeah, dynastytypewriter.com/calendar/ghosttownpodapr25. We have links all over our social media if you get turned around.
Yeah.
We would love to see you there.
We will see you there.
Yeah, that's better. Check into another rock and roll nightmare. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
I'm very excited about this one. You know how, like, you have episodes that you have had in your mind, but you did not have an episode, didn't exist to put it out on?
Yeah, you're, like, saving your little hip pocket.
Yeah.
You're saving those little nuggets for, like, when you really gotta bust them out.
This one kind of harkens to my past. Mm-hmm. It checks off a lot of boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to talk about the Chelsea Hotel.
Mm.
But we're going to get into the Chelsea Hotel as a whole. We were actually talking about doing a anthology of it, a little like tiny little anthology, because there's a lot. And if you're a fan of music, arts, pop culture, movies, the Chelsea Hotel
is like the place.
Yeah, like it's you'd be hard pressed to find somebody that did not stay there or work there that you're not at least familiar with.
Yeah.
But this one is going to probably pretty quickly focus in on Sid and Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with Sid Vicious and Nancy Spungen, Sid Vicious, a bass player of the Sex Pistols, Nancy Spungen, famous kind of groupie and girlfriend of Sid Vicious, which is, you know, probably one of the most famous I say technically unsolved true crimes.
Spoiler alert.
So we're going to kind of get into it. And, you know, I was just a huge fan. Like, you know, obviously music. Yeah. Talking about music, which I've been getting more into, like the dark side of that. This is one of those where, listen, when I was 14, I mean, this is the 80s. Mm-hmm. I didn't have access to, like, band t-shirts. So I had a gray crew neck. Mm-hmm. Like Heather Gray sweatshirt and a can of spray paint, and I spray painted Sex Pistols on it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Did I get beat up? Hell yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, so it was great.
For a moment you were like the coolest.
Yeah, I was like, this is gonna turn out well.
Yeah.
And it did not.
No.
People were not super receptive to it. Including my family. My family was like, that's what you get.
Yeah.
That's what
you don't get that undershirt back.
Yeah, no, it's
you have to wear that to bed.
Yeah, that's but I wore it like off the shoulder a little bit.
Oh, flirty.
Yes. People were really like, are you trying to get beat up? So that's what we're gonna get into, and I'm personally very excited about it. I think you will be too.
Yeah.
And actually, Rebecca, of course had the ideas like hotel. Can we stay there and do an episode?
Can we fucking stay there?
But you got stonewalled a little bit, and I think it's because, and I, you know, from the research I did, I think it's We'll get into it. But we did not get through, but maybe by the time we're in New York together,
yeah,
it'll be open. We'll might have that time.
I think that could be fun. I mean, I went on and there was immediately some place where you can book it, but it was unavailable. So I was like, oh, maybe. And I called them a couple times and they hung up on me or something of that nature. Anyway, I was disconnected, which I don't appreciate.
No.
But then I saw something as I was scrolling through that the construction was delayed. So
yeah, so
I would love to stay there. That would be amazing if we could do something from the Chelsea Hotel.
And that might happen. You know, like, you know, maybe we might do our second live show in New York.
What?
But we have a first live.
First live show?
Yeah. And have we talked about it enough? Listen, we're under a bit of pressure for you to show up. Or at least...
Could you get there?
So, because it's not, you know, we are working with some other... you know, industry kind of corporate.
You always say this, and it always sounds so like ominous.
I know it is, but I just don't want to say.
No, but we have high hopes for this show, I guess. Yeah. Let's say that, right?
Yeah.
High hopes. We are doing a live show. We're doing a tour with it. Like, we really want to bring this experience that you listen to every week, presumably,
yeah,
plus Patreon, to life.
Yeah.
For you. For you. We do it for you.
And if you can't make it, and you can.
Yeah.
The episode will obviously be, obviously you're going to post it.
Yeah.
But you won't, it's 3D. You need the 3D.
It's not the same.
Podcasts were always meant to be in person. They were never meant to just be listened to.
A dialogue between two people that you shut up during and listen to.
Yeah. Podcasts were not meant to just be listened to. That's not the way people like it.
You're supposed to see our sweatshirts.
Yeah. Jeans.
All of the jeans.
Yeah. So many jeans.
See the coasters. You don't even understand the coasters.
Don't you want to see the empty seats?
Hollywood.
Yeah. You'll see how LA is so indifferent to live entertainment.
Arts.
Yeah. Arts and art. And then people wonder, like, why aren't certain things flourishing?
Yeah. Well, we got your answer right here, baby.
Yes.
So please go to dynastytypewriter.com/calendar/ghosttownapr25. Our links will be all over. We got links aplenty. You will find your way. If you want to see the show, God help you. You will find your way.
Yeah. Ghost Town like Pod on Instagram. Yeah.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
Please.
And I don't know if you'll find the link on patreon.com/ghosttownpod, mm-hmm, where we have like 10 bonus episodes ready to go for you to listen to for $2 a month. Just saying. I don't know if you'll find it there, but maybe you will.
Maybe you take a look and you see what you find.
Are we all unplugged?
I want to talk about one quick thing too, which there's a documentary there's a documentary about Satanism coming out.
Mangali, Hail Satan?
Hail Satan.
I got an invite to a screening. I think you're going to be.
How did you not tell me? How did you not? Because
I get invited to a lot of screenings.
Oh, okay.
Also, it's like at 11 a.m.
I don't care.
Yeah. I just saw the trailer for it.
So did I. With my coworker, because we don't work. We just watch trailers, pretty much.
I'm going to look up the information, mm-hmm, and you tell me if you're going to be around.
Okay.
And then you start talking about Hail Satan.
Okay. I will.
Yeah.
So basically, Hail Satan is a documentary about Satanism, but it's really about the social justice angle of Satanism, which my coworker and I watched the trailer, and then we both signed up to be Satanists, and he was already registered. I was not.
Oh.
He's pretty cool. But so I registered, and they had the tenets of Satanism are like really progressive. I got a really lovely welcome email, and I'm really excited to see what's next. I was trying to get, they have like a little like membership card for an extra $20, and I tried to get that, but they were out. But hopefully next time I can show you my Satanist.
You know, though,
I
actually like that they're out. I want to hope that they're out of cards because they've got so many members they can't keep up.
I do. There are lots of branches. In fact, there's not even one in L.A. There's one in Santa Cruz. I think that's the closest one.
Well, that's I think, you know the movie The Lost Boys?
Yeah.
That was filmed in Santa Cruz, so I get it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Santa Cruz is like like a weird place. Yeah. Not in a bad way, but like a weird... That's what I've heard. I'll look into more about that, but I remember hearing some stories about that. I'm not going to say where it is because it's just, you know. It's Tuesday, March 12th at 11 a.m.
Oh, shit. I can probably do that. I bet I could go... How many? I bet if I told my coworker, he'd be like, go.
So I did get.
Oh shoot! Though I'm gonna be in New York.
That's why. That's the first thing I said to you was that I think you're in New York. Then that's why I didn't tell you about it.
You're right.
Yeah.
Are you gonna go?
I don't know, because here's the thing: it's at 11 a.m. That doesn't really bother me, but I know it's gonna come on probably, you know, video on demand or something like that. But I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I'm watching Interview with a Vampire for a fifth date tomorrow. How about that?
Whose idea was that?
It was a collective choice between two.
He was parties. Like, La La Land. You're like, Interview with a Vampire. He's like, good.
He's like, see ya.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Is that a little too sexy?
Sexy. It is very homoerotic, and I can't wait to watch it with a straight guy.
Yeah.
A straight sober guy.
Yeah. It should be pretty
so
hot.
So sexy.
It should be very hot.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So that's all my business.
You know what I'd say?
What?
Get a room at the Chelsea Hotel.
Oh, damn.
Oh, do you see how I did that?
I liked it.
I'm getting better.
You're very good at this. I could just talk forever about my dating life, and you're like, bring it back around.
And you're like on date 39. Yeah, so here's exactly what happened. Here's
so let me tell you how he texted me, and I texted this. That would be my podcast if I had my way.
A podcast about dating woes?
I know. Oh
no,
my God.
They don't exist. No one ever do it, and no one ever listen. But I want to go, and I want to talk about. I mean, you know, you lived in New York for a time, mm-hmm. and you're there. I grew up. I mean, I've been going to New York City, like I mentioned this, like since the mid 70s.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
I never lived in New York City, but I worked in New York City and I, you know, New Jersey, and I've always lived about an hour outside. I've slept in Penn Station.
Gross.
Because I couldn't miss the track. It is gross and it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Don't do it. And now this is
obviously, you want to be sexy.
Yeah. And cigarettes. No, I remember at Grand Central where you could kind of just like sleep on the floor.
Oh my
they
God.
Quickly, like in the early 2000s, were like, no, you don't do that here. You know,
it's like sleeping on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
Like,
Penn
my
Station,
God.
Though, is, I mean, sleeping in Penn Station is rough.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember like maybe kind of stepping inside the, because I wasn't that much of a bad boy. Like, I wasn't that much of an urban explorer then. Mm-hmm. But I would, you know, be outside the Chelsea Hotel and my like love of like music and all the history there and just old buildings. So I've been inside like really quick. And this is a while ago. This is probably 90s, I would say.
Whoa.
80, yeah, late 80s, 90s.
Wow.
When things were really nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, you're
going to. Are we talking like,
I mean, this is pre Giuliani.
Interesting.
And probably post Giuliani, but like, I remember peep shows on in Times Square and stuff like that. And just being in them, being in the peep shows.
Yeah.
Being on the screen
as
an actor.
Wow. Oh my God. Look at you now.
And being in the audience.
Oh my God. Wow.
Like,
that's so
I did like
meta.
Full, it's like a full circle.
That's incredible.
Full circle. But
the things you've seen and not seen.
And not mostly
witnessed
not seen.
And not witnessed.
And mostly not witnessed.
Yeah.
But to give you, for some people who are not familiar, I say Chelsea Hotel. Basically, I call it Chelsea Hotel because you can call it both things. But do you know, are familiar with Leonard Cohen?
Mm-hmm. R.I.P.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, his song Chelsea Hotel, number two. Yeah, it's like very, very famous song.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle loves Leonard Cohen. And my dad, actually, when I was younger, he was one of those people that my dad got me into most music. You know what I mean? Everything. The Beatles and Springsteen was kind of late for me to get into.
Mm-hmm.
But Leonard Cohen was one of those things that took me a little while to get into.
It's an acquired taste.
It is,
Tom Waits for
it's
like,
it
is,
this? Yeah.
Okay.
And then you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, then you're hooked.
And then I'm into it. But, you know, he's that song is about his affair with Janis Joplin.
What?
I know her. Yeah, we have a three-part episode with Janis Joplin.
Just a little sweet, tight three-parter.
Yeah. How do we fit that in there?
Oh.
I think as we do more episodes, we're going to find that we're going to cross like
a lot of history.
We're
going to
cross,
especially because the places we concentrate in are a lot of cities where a lot of people die.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah.
A lot of Satanists do those things
there. You know what I'm thinking? Before we get like into the nasty stuff, let's take a little break.
Pre-nasty break?
Oop, we're back. So let me get a little tiny bit about the Chelsea Hotel. Again, we're not going to go very deep into it. It's such a long, amazing history, especially with all the ins and outs of it. But it was built in 1884. It is at 222 West 23rd Street. Between 7th and 8th Avenue. And it's I always first thing I look is like when did it become a landmark? Mm-hmm. And it was designated. It's been a landmark since 1966, and on the National Register of Historic Places since 1977. When mm-hmm. I was a mere 25 years old.
Damn, you are so old.
I'm so old. I know. You know, it's known for having famous people and dead people. Like that's yeah, kind of like
it really is.
You can't put that on the sign, but that's
yeah.
That's what it is.
Exactly. I feel like someone's has made some B movie, C movie about the Chelsea Hotel.
Oh, there's tons. No, there's tons
like
murder. Of
murder. It's yeah. like just like where you know the filter where it's like blood fills. You know, like it is. It has such a just violent.
You know, people say like, "Oh, if these walls could talk."
Yeah, these walls would scream. Yeah. To help us, please,
and try to hook up.
Hook up and sanitize us.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me see if any of these. Here's some people that stayed there. Mm-hmm. This might not impress you.
Try me.
Boring old Mark Twain.
No. Nah.
Yeah. Nobody. He does not have an Instagram presence.
I do not care if you will not yes. come to our live show.
Allen Ginsberg. Uh-huh. You like some poetry?
I do.
She didn't like, she was like, was poised to be great, but didn't really work out for her. Madonna.
Oh, who's that?
Don't know. Some dude. Young. I don't know who that is.
I'm too young.
Some survivors of the Titanic.
Whoa.
They survived the Titanic, and they narrowly escaped the Chelsea Hotel.
Jesus.
Arthur C. Clarke, I think, wrote 2001 Space Odyssey.
That's right.
There. Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Absolutely.
Ethan Hawke. He's back, baby. Brilliant. Ethan Hawke's back. Yeah. Ooh, he's so good.
Sinewy.
He's so good. Dennis Hopper, of course. He's, yeah, absolutely. You know, like, he's like, yeah. I'm surprised he wasn't one of the walls.
I'm surprised he didn't own it. I know. He's buried there.
Uma Thurman.
Yeah, you we're getting I mean? Very like 90s yeah. fun.
Jim Morrison? Why would he go there?
Exactly.
He's like, no, I'll go to Holiday Inn Express. No, thank you.
La Quinta.
And the Grateful Dead. I mean, that's just some of...
That's just some. That's some. Just like the hits.
We're not even going to get... We're not even getting to the meat of this. I'm just... What I'm doing is I'm giving you little tiny little appetizers. Little tiny little yum-yums. should I ever say the word yum-yums again? Yes or no? Let me know in the comments that don't exist below. So, Leonard, I want to just kind of get into... Before we get to Sid and Nancy, which is really the kind of like the bulk of this... focus. But Leonard Cohen, he lived in room 424. Mm-hmm. Can we get in? And Janis Joplin was in 411. They had an affair.
Mm-hmm. They were very close. They're very, so, yeah. And, across the hall. Probably between a vending yeah. machine.
maybe.
Cigarette machine?
A ciggy machine?
Yeah.
But in the Leonard Cohen song, you're familiar with Chelsea Hotel number 2. It's pretty graphic. Mm. You know, but in a... Oh, he's like, remember we were holding hands and like French kissing a little bit, like that part of the song?
Ooh.
That's the part... I think my family edited out all the other parts. They edited other parts.
Horton family edit to the classics?
Another person who stayed there, and I watched a documentary on him, is Joe Bryath.
Who's that?
He was kind of a... Somebody that kind of came up almost as like a David Bowie type during okay. that. He had a really interesting trajectory and probably could have been really big mm-hmm. and actually was like super talented. Just things just did not work out. The documentary is great if you're ooh. Into like late 70s, and then you go into disco and then early 80s. And I remember this because he lived on the, there's a pyramid top mm-hmm. of the Hotel Chelsea. And he lived there and he actually, then he died from AIDS in 1983, but that's where he lived right before he died. And I think from the documentary, you see him playing the piano because he went through this kind of like glam phase and then he kind of pulled it in and became like kind of like a tuxedo, just piano player. It was just a very interesting, sad, and I'll watch any music documentary. I don't have to like the music.
Yeah, yeah.
I can know everything about it or nothing about it.
Honestly, sports documentaries, a lot of the
sometimes, yeah, they're great, too. Because like, there's a lot of ups and downs.
Well, it's just
and,
like culture. Yeah. And I like it. A good story is a good story.
So I was just kind of really into that. But the story about Sid and Nancy is a very mm-hmm. kind of classic, you know, people kind of compare
it's like
Kurt Cobain yeah. and Courtney. I mean, Courtney Love, you know, definitely. Her mm-hmm. vibe is a page out of Nancy Spencer.
Literally, they could be twins. Like, yeah. they are so, have such a similar aesthetic, yeah. different generations, but like, yeah, I think it's very eerie that, and I feel like a lot of people make comparisons all the time yeah. to that. But yeah, when you think about tragic rock and roll romances,
this is, yeah, like, this is
huge.
And Nancy is interesting. I, you know, I was watching some interviews with her, and she's just a very seeming like a kind of intelligent, but kind of very abrasive, and a, you know, a junkie groupie who you know was very. I mean, you know, a strong woman.
Didn't Courtney Love play her?
Not. Are you thinking of the movie, the Sid and Nancy movie?
Yeah.
No, but you know who played her? Her name is escaping, but she was also in Shameless. She played. I don't know if you've ever seen Shameless.
Yeah, yeah.
She plays the mother that's in and out of their lives. That's the junkie. Okay. You're, if you hear her voice,
yeah,
it's like, you know what
it's
I mean.
Like a, yeah, it's like New York. It's like she's very.
It's kind
like,
of like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. But you would think Courtney Love would, but that was. I remember getting that soundtrack, and I had Sid Vicious post. It was just. A very iconic thing, even though Sid Vicious...
First of all, Sid Vicious was, like, not talented. I mean, he was, like, part of the punk. He was very charismatic.
He couldn't play bass.
Yeah. Also, everyone was so young, too, which, like, you don't think about. I learned a lot about this, well, just growing up a little bit and hating everybody. But also, this is the least punk thing I've ever done, is TA'd a class on the history of punk in grad school.
Interesting.
Which is very punk. But we learned a lot about that and, like, had people talk about this experience, too, and like, the scene in New York, which was so insane and full of possibility. And also, it's not like the, you know, it's like, you think about, like, the artist scene there, and this is, like, a little post that. This is, like, again, a little grittier, little kind of, like, downfall in New York. New York is gross.
I mean, anything in, like, you know, we're talking about New York, and you're talking about, like, after between 1975 on, because then, you know, 77, you have Blackout and Son of Sam and economic depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's a tough, rough time, you know, tons of drugs.
Yeah.
So it's really, like, a great... really great backdrop for these stories.
Yeah.
Not for the people that didn't make it. But then, you know, I guess that's what kind of solidifies them in kind of like as icons and in what we're talking about.
Totally.
But she, you know, Nancy showed up, you know, as the punk movement was blowing up and heroin was getting big in New York City. And you know, she was super like honest. She was just honest about it. She's like, yeah, she's like, I'm a junkie prostitute. What up? You know, which is, you know, some people say like, I'm a muse. And maybe you are that, but she was like, no, this is what I am.
Yeah. Which is also very punk too, to just be like, this is it. Like, this is who we are. We're unapologetic about it.
Yeah. You know, she would bring the band's drugs. She said to be a groupie, you had to be tall and skinny and have fashionable clothes. Like, that was, like, the general consensus. And then she shows up, and she's not trying to be any of those things. She wasn't like, I'm an aspiring model.
Yeah.
She was just like, yeah, I'm a prostitute, and I don't care. But she met Sid Vicious in London in 1977, when the Sex Pistols were, you know, a very short time span. But that was right in the center of it. And then they, you know, kind of hung out in the UK, and then they made it to the United States. You know, and then after Sex Pistols broke up, it was just the two of them on their own. But they were, you know, they were inseparable. It was just like sex and drugs.
Yeah, and he was also like 19. Like how?
Yeah, he was pretty young. Yeah.
I mean, I believe he was just like, I don't know if he's still young, a teenager or like what.
Well, also his mother was addicted to heroin too.
Yeah.
So
totally
sad. The other people, like obviously in the band, didn't like her. As most things. They banned her from their 1978 tour, which went terribly, but famously terribly.
Yeah.
But on August 24th, 1978, Sid Vicious and Nancy Spungen moved into the Chelsea Hotel. So you live there. You know what I mean? Like I'm sure there was people, you know, there for the day, but you live there.
I want to know how much it was like. Her, I guess I'm sure they had like weekly rate, you know, like people were so in and out.
I'm sure it was probably, you know, I mean, they probably used their Citibank mileage points stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it was like
sure.
Airbnb and stuff.
Well, you gotta get those points. You gotta use those points.
You gotta use those. Listen,
you chase Sapphire. You get double points.
It's not punk to not use your points.
Yeah,
I guess.
No shit.
On the night of August 11th, we fast forward very short amount of time. Several visitors to the room saw Sid Vicious take as many as 30 tablets of Tylenol, which is barbiturate, and it's just like beyond large amount.
Yeah.
And would put anyone like unconscious. But and then he remained coma. You know, he was like kind of like comatose the morning. But on October 12th, 1978, Nancy bled to death on the bathroom floor. Yeah. What happened in between that time?
Yeah.
Right. So this is a little, you know, a true crime.
This is
element to this.
Mm-hmm. And I just looked it up. Sinicius was only 21 years old when he died.
Yeah.
Like, so sad. Yeah. And I think Nancy's a little bit older, but like, I'm sure, like, what, there's so, like, what, I wonder those waning hours after Sid Vicious overdosed, and she probably was just like, I'm gonna take all these drugs, and like, God knows what.
It's really hard to say what happened in between, and there's really no way to know. And also, you know, we're gonna find that people just didn't, like, you know, the police authorities, they're not, like, in the business of, like, listen, we want justice. They're like, another junkie?
Yeah.
Like, what do we care what has happened to this person? How much manpower are we going to put into it? So here's how the night went. At 2:30 a.m., Nancy asked Rockets Red Glare. Great name.
Great name. Great name. Punk names are also, like, so cool. Fucking great.
It's like, so disco, you know what I mean? It's like,
I know, it's like Susie Sue, like all the,
so great.
There's so many amazing names.
So great names. We was sometimes a bodyguard for Sid Vicious, also a drug dealer. So he was multi, you know what I mean? He had like a side
slashes.
Hustle. Yeah, like he had multi hyphenate. Yeah. He was a multi hyphenate.
Triple threat.
You know, he to get some he went to get Sid some dialidids. D-I-L-A-U-D-I-D-S. Dila Udids.
Diludids?
I don't know.
Dilaudids.
Dilaudids?
We're punk right now. Yes. This is the most punk thing we've ever talked about.
Actually, we're a bunch of narcs, so we're trying to find out who knows what
it is. Not a cop. Are you a cop? I'm not a cop.
Yep. Which is a painkiller. And around 7:30 a.m., female moans were heard from the room from other guests in the hotel. Mm-hmm. Probably all messed up, you know what I mean? And at 10 a.m., Sid Vicious called down to the front desk asking for help. Nancy Spungen, who had been stabbed in the stomach.
Oh, boy.
With a knife, bled to death on the bathroom floor. She was 20.
Yeah.
Sid Vicious, who was found wandering the hallways, like, in a, you know, freaked out state, was arrested and charged with the murder. He initially confessed to the crime, and then he recanted it. Claimed that he was asleep when he died, which is tough because maybe you feel so guilty that you want to be like, I must have done, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm the one supposed to, like, so the closest to you, I did this. It's really hard to say because there's just a lot of things, like a lot of, you know, things saying like, there's no way he could have done it based on the state that he was in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry. I thought she was 27 because everyone dies when they're 27.
No, not even that.
I was wrong. God, young.
Not even that far.
Not even of drinking age. Do you think she'd ever had a sip of alcohol?
She never had a sip of water. I know that. She never ever had a sip of water. That was her claim to fame.
Oh, wow.
Actually took that from Saturday Night Live from sketch. Yeah, it's really funny. I've never had a sip of water. Like, but I thought it was really funny. I think it was 80 Bryant, just in case she's listening and just like, give me credit 80. For my comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are kind of, I mean, listen, it could be, how many things could it be? Everything, right? Mm-hmm. What were the possibilities that maybe it was a robbery or a drug deal?
No, a robbery. Yeah, maybe Sid robbing Nancy.
Yeah, or a drug deal gone bad.
Between Sid and Nancy.
Yeah. It could have, what about the drug deals gone good? Where everyone just has a really good time and
like
I save time.
It's a lovely time. I don't know.
Now it's possible that people are saying that based on her personality that she might have like stabbed herself for drama.
There was a big round of thunder when I said that, and that was very dramatic.
Yeah. That maybe she stabbed herself.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I see that.
I mean,
there's
just
so many things I want to do on drugs and I don't.
Well, did you have 75 Quaaludes?
No, I didn't have enough to kill a giant like horse.
Yeah.
like a Clydesdale.
And, you know, she maybe kind of like, maybe mistakenly like stabbed herself. Mm-hmm. You know, to be like, you love me, Sid.
That's kind of basically like it could have been like a
thing.
And
then he was too like was out like, cold fuck. And it just went, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was
well, also think about the
a bluff went bad.
Yeah. You've done when you were 20, 21, but then add a bucket of drugs.
And just, probably. And, you know, I think it's not even the drugs of one day. It's just like doing drugs every single day.
In your bloodstream. Yeah. You're in a hotel. You don't know what is up and what is down.
Yeah.
And all you need is a hug.
You should have been there, Lieb. Hey, guy. Hey, listen, everybody.
Hey, open up.
Yeah. They're like, don't let her in.
Open up.
Don't let her in.
She can't come in here. Yeah. She's
selling loose cigarettes.
Be honest.
There's a 2009 documentary called Who Killed Nancy, and that suggests that Vicious couldn't have murdered her because he was too out cold from the barbiturates.
I mean, that makes sense.
Listen, I'm not saying he can or can't do anything. And it wasn't like he was a kind of like pretty frail kind of.
Yeah, he was tiny.
Heroin chic, I guess we call it.
Yeah, like
fit really I just call it chic. I just call it chic. Yeah. Like, the heroin part's understood.
Really well into jeans. You know?
Oh, skinny jeans? Ooh.
Skinniest. Like.
No thigh gap. Or all thigh gap, right? It's all thigh gap, yeah. There's a actually in the Daily Beast that Vicious wouldn't have killed his girlfriend unless her death was actually a botched double suicide.
See, I can see even that more than really him killing her. It's like they were both like, let's do it, and he passed out and she stabbed herself.
Yeah. Malcolm McLaren, who kind of
who engineered the Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
And their aesthetic.
And probably a lot of other.
And was partnered with Vivian Westwood.
Yep.
Fashion
icon. Michelle loves Vivian Westwood.
I do too. I mean, she's great. Although, how punk is it when like the Met Gala is themed as? Remember when it was like punk themed?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Like, oh my god! Like, punk's dead.
Yeah. I wanted to go to like where they had that sex shop. It's something else. There's something else now. But when I was in, I went to go. But it's not that anymore. It's something else. So Sid Vicious, ended up, he got arrested and then he was going to go to trial and all that. And then, I think his mother gave him some heroin just to be like, let's party before we do with all this.
Everyone likes to party with their mom on heroin.
Overdosed. Yeah. And so there's just no way it could be any, and if doesn't matter which one of those things, I guess, is it? Yeah. You know, I guess it doesn't really matter. But the sit-in, you know, kind of like it's definitely like the most volatile of that kind of like, you know, rock and roll kind of casualty thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is. It's very indicative.
I think they're in room 100. I think I might mention that.
Nice prime. Not a prime number.
Is that a prime number?
It's divisible.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when you think about that, when you think about like punk gone really bad.
Yeah.
You think about, a lot of neo-Nazi shit. And then you think about Sid and Nancy, and you think about their death and how young everyone is.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Rotten, like how young everyone was in this movement, which is part of its allure because it's about like unbridled anger, like raw, like being raw and being like vulgar.
It's that you are at your most, you're at your kind of worst.
Yeah.
But you're at your best because you're at your most
lower class and you grew up poor and you're angry and you're going to like take it out on some shit.
Yeah.
Like a lot of let's just call them
Dilaudids. We need a cool person. Yeah. A drug specialist.
We need a cool person somewhere.
Somewhere to be like, you're doing it wrong.
Oh my God. They're like, do not say anything else.
But that is only one of many stories. I want to get into this Edie Sedgwick.
Edie Sedgwick is one of my favorite, like Andy Warhol muse that like fell out of favor. Also like royalty, like she was like related to the Kennedy. Like she had so much money. That is also such an interesting story.
It is. And when I was like, oh, so when I was, when we were talking about doing like an anthology or like a mini anthology, the Edie Sedgwick. Sedgwick, am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Edie Sedgwick story I thought was like pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, she's related to Kira Sedgwick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought, they're like cousins
Something like that. Yeah. I was like, huh. Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, Andy Warhol, like when I, because admittedly, like, you know, I went to museums as a kid, but art kind of escaped me because it was just not. I don't know. It wasn't like a luxury that kind of hit. I grew up very middle class. You know what I mean?
Yeah, art's also like not super accessible.
It's not super accessible, especially when you live very close to New York City. You can't find art.
Yeah, it's very hard. But, get to Akron though.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Columbus.
Over the years,
go to Ohio.
Actually, living in LA made me like, oh, now I got to go because I went to the Tate Modern and I go to museums. But I remember in New York, I remember Andy Warhol and Keith Haring.
Yeah.
Keith Haring
was definitely of that time.
Yeah. So Andy both Warhol of those.
Yeah.
And I just, I mean, that whole kind of world is super interesting. So, I mean, this just we have to get to the Chelsea Hotel.
We're gonna get so much more into this hotel. Yeah. Use the first snacky snack you've seen of this hotel. Yeah.
This is probably the most. There's some pretty other dark stuff in here. But this one's pretty.
That one's just a good entryway into. God,
also, check out. Go online and look at the pictures of some of the rooms and kind of its heyday and kind of like the people that are like living there. Mm-hmm. And it is like, as we found out, they were doing some remodeling. And it's obviously a landmark, so I don't know how much they're allowed to change.
I don't know either.
Structurally, like how much.
If someone would pick up the phone, I could find out.
So we'll keep you posted. But we want to try to get there. We could be our own like Sid and Nancy, but it's just kind of like should we order mozzarella sticks too? Is that
crust?
too
much stuffed crust?
It's too dangerous.
No, can't do it. Someone help me. And it's Jason's like, Odita and stuffed crust.
They're like, no, they're both dead. It's like, no, they just passed out because they ate too much stuffed crust and didn't do anything. And they didn't do anything they say they were going to do.
They're being, frankly, very disrespectful.
Yeah. And they only got 10 minutes into Interview with a Vampire.